is the Don Geronimo Show.
Come on, Oprah.
Hello?
Come on, Oprah. Give me a second.
Said that before.
I'm trying to open up.
Take a
Oprah.
Look.
There she is.
Let's talk about that secret language, Michelle.
Yes.
I didn't know any of this.
I've gotten a whole new vocabulary.
I did not know
any of
this.
Salad tosses. I'm thinking cucumbers, lettuce, tomatoes.
Okay, so what is a salad toss?
Okay, a toss salad is, get ready, hold on to your underwear for this one, oral anal sex.
Whoa.
So oral sex through the anus is what a salad is.
Come on.
Holler. She said holler. I got some new Rex Ryan, I think.
Break his freaking nose. Cocky people piss me off. That jackass isn't even worth the effort.
That's some pretty good new Rex Ryan.
Break his freaking nose. Cocky people piss me off. That jackass isn't even worth the effort.
Gotta like that. We got more of that, right? We got how many new Rex Ryan cuts
today? I sent you six of them.
Six of them. All right. Well, let's start today. We'll officially start the Don Geronimo Show on KHTK Radio, call sign KHTK, with the fabulous Reverend Willie Wilson.
You still could make it. And we live in a time now, brothers have been so put down, can't get a job. A lot of the sisters making more money than brothers, and it's created problems in families.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons our family's breaking up, and that's one of the reasons many of our women are becoming lesbians.
Amen.
You got to be careful when you say you don't need no man.
Amen.
I can make it by myself. Well, if you don't need a man, what's left?
Sibidu.
Lesbianism about to take over our community. I'm talking about young girls.
That's a drop.
My son in high school last year, trying to go to the prom. He said, Dad, I ain't got nobody to take to the prom because all the girls in my class are gay. Ain't but two of them straight and both of them ugly.
End person.
You tell
I ain't got nobody to take to the prom. Now, can I park here for a minute? I ain't homophobic because everybody in here got something wrong with them. Whoever you point at, you can point at your own self. You got something wrong with your life. But when you get down to this thing, women falling down on another woman, strapping yourself up with something, it ain't real.
Amen.
Boo-loo.
That thing ain't got no feeling in it.
Boo-loo.
Amen, Rev.
It ain't natural. Anytime somebody got to slap some grease on your behind to stick something in you, there's something wrong with that.
That's a drop.
Your butt ain't made for that.
Oh, this is bold.
He's the best, my Reverend Willie Wilson. Amen.
Hope the kids in the audience are enjoying it.
You got blood vessels and membranes in your behind.
Another drop.
And if you put something unnatural in there, it breaks them all up. No wonder your behind is bleeding.
The Reverend
person. Chris Rock.
Yes, Rev?
It's destroying us.
Amen. Amen.
Can't make no connection with a screw and another screw.
Screw.
Yeah,
right. The Bible says God made them male and female. The Hebrew word neged, which means complementary nature. There is something unique to man and unique to woman, and it takes those two things to complement each other. You can't make a connection with two screws. It takes a screw and a nut.
And there you go. Thank you, Rob.
Love it.
And now let's start, shall we?
On the airwaves, Don Geronimo, gotta save me. All don't go back. Just remember, Don Geronimo.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Geronimo. K-H-T-K.
Yep. That's right, yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Righto.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
You know my name.
I just cut off the Are You Ready to Rock, so I'll just say it. Are you ready to rock? Are you ready to break his nose?
You know my name.
I can't even find that one now.
Yep.
Oh, no. I'm back to the Reverend Willie Wilson.
It's awesome.
So we'll just go with that as the open day. Hello.
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 Sacramento, California. Hello.
Hi there, Larry.
Daddy's coming.
I know it. Here's my door now.
Hey.
There we go.
Monkey Jungle.
Welcome to Slaggers.
Monkey Jungle.
Bulu.
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 Good afternoon. And with all remaining Beatles who can still stand, please stand. Thank you, Ringo. Thank you, Paul. John, you can remain seated. George, you too.
Yeah.
And Billy Preston, the fifth Beatle. Hey, well, listen, hi, everybody. Enough. There's enough rock and roll, the rock and roll musical college knowledge, whatever. There were four Beatles, actually five if you count Billy Preston. Six if you count disc jockey Murray the K. Seven if you count Tito.
Eight if you count Yoko.
And don't forget, Dave, whenever you mention Yoko,
Oh, I want to talk of a happy ending. I met John, and right after I met John, I gave him a massage. And I said, hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi, Yoko. Hi, John.
Not much call for a Yoko Ono impression.
No, but that's fine.
I got news for you. I nailed that one. Let me hear your Yoko, Craig. Now let me hear your British Yoko Ono. I made my first mistake by going to him first. Hi, everybody. It's me. It's Donald P. at my J.O.B. Nearly famous, highly outrageous, very contagious. Lots of stuff that I used to say that I don't say anymore because it rhymes, and I'm not like that. Good for me. Bully, huzzah. How the heck are you? How are you anyway? How are you feeling today, friends? It's a new episode for you. It's Thursday. It's November 18th. I'm Don Geronimo, and there is a 500% chance that I mean it.
Wow.
When I say, how you doing today?
Up 299%.
So know that I do mean it. Across from me, look at that. There's a face that should have a collar on it.
You belong in the circus, Spock. Right next to the dog-faced boy.
Here he is, the young head, Fred Gwynn, the young Herman Munster.
Yes.
And also the judge from My Cousin Vinny. There's Carmichael Dave. Hi, Dave.
The beard's starting to fill in. I think I'm going to go with it. A little Munster-esque.
And there he is. Noted mimic, yes. Craig the intern. Hello, Craig.
Hey there, Donnie. How goes it, buddy?
AIDS! And on the other side of the glass, as always, drama queen Johnny Plinko. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Don. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, that means John's busy today.
I had nothing today.
Okay, or you're busy. Go with the fact that you're busy.
We'll go with that.
Hi, everybody. Listen, how are you? I think I've already told you I do care desperately about you, and I hope you had a great night. I had an outstanding day yesterday. It's hard for me to believe that tomorrow will be the one-month anniversary of my Humpty Dumpty fall.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really. Right. Four weeks from tomorrow.
Wow.
And healthcare, I'm not even going to get into an entire thing about healthcare, really.
Now, you know that guy ain't sorry as my got nothing on me, right?
I know.
Listen, nothing.
Prez, it's complicated. Healthcare.
Okay. It's complicated. She thinks it's funny.
She thinks it's funny. And I'm trying to find the one where he says that it's...
You ain't my bitch. Buy your own damn fries.
Okay, well, I can't find the one where he's complicated. I can't find that one.
Hello, complicated.
President Obama?
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Okay, well, listen, I can't find the
one. Sure, you can have my number, baby.
Okay, well, listen, healthcare is a mess.
It is.
That's all I have to say.
That's true.
Yesterday afternoon, I left the show at 3:30.
Yes.
To be at a doctor's appointment at... And I love this when they give you this type of precise time. My appointment time was 3:54.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, when I got the appointment 2 weeks ago, I made a point of saying, Can't we just round it off to 4 o'clock? I work till 4 o'clock. No, 3:54.
Yeah.
No problem. I arrived at the doctor's office yesterday at 10 minutes until 4, 4 minutes early for my appointment. Didn't have to do any type of paperwork. This is a follow-up appointment for my spine.
Right.
I waited, an hour 15 to get inside. And this is where it's like Disneyland. The way they get you at Disneyland is that you're in those never-ending lines where all you're doing is it's like a maze, like a cornfield maze.
Yeah.
You go up one aisle and down the next, and you think you're getting somewhere, and really, you're not getting anywhere at all. So what happens is yesterday I go to the doctor's office, and I don't have any paperwork to fill out. So they say, okay, great. He'll be right with you. I have a seat. Hour 15 minutes later, finally they call my name. They bring me back to the little room, and I think, bingo, here we go. She takes my blood pressure. She weighs me. She takes my temperature, and it's the taste, incidentally, Dave. That's the change. And she says, the doctor will be right with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was another 45-minute wait.
Right.
Another 45-minute wait. So now I've been in there well over 2 hours, just sitting. And I had time to go through the room that they had me in. I was looking to see if there was anything that I could swipe, anything that I could take home. I have no big fascination for rubber gloves.
Nice.
For the, you know, the gloves where they give you the old, you know, the yeah. Michael the Archangel test. There was that. There were cotton balls. There were big swabs and
tongue
stuff.
Tongue depressors.
I couldn't find anything good. And at one point, when the nurse came into the room to tell me the doctor was running late, it was right as I was rifling through, opening up cabinets and stuff. And she said, are you looking for something? And I don't know how I came up with this, but I said, yes, I'm looking for a glass. Do you have a paper cup so I can get some water?
Right. Good call.
And for whatever reason, she bought it. And she said, oh, yes, we do have little paper cups that are right out by where the water dispenser is. I said, oh.
Good save.
Because there's a sink in there. And I said, I didn't want to put my lips up against the sink here in the office. And, you know, she said, okay, he'll be right with you. And I sat there like a good boy for another 5 minutes. And then couldn't help myself, started looking at stuff again. And then the doctor came in and he busted me. And he was funny about it. By the time he got in, he walked in and he said, so, how are you feeling? And I turned around and I had that look of a kid that has just done something wrong.
I didn't do nothing.
And I said, hey, I'm doing great. And he said, well, I guess you are doing great if you're going through the supplies here. And I said, oh, listen, no offense. It's just because, you know, my appointment was at 3:54 and it's now almost 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt bad for the doctor because he's backlogged with a bunch of stuff. But thank goodness that this particular doctor that I've seen, the spinal doctor, is a big believer in the best way to recover from an injury, no matter what it is to get back with your life and to get yourself going and get yourself off, dust yourself off, get off your ass, and get back to life. So he was awesome. The total time that he spent evaluating me, maybe 3 minutes. Seriously, maybe 3 minutes. It was like, okay, follow my finger.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, your eyesight is good. Then he taps me with a hammer to make sure my reflexes are okay. Then he's doing the thing, move your neck like this, move your neck like that. Okay, does it hurt when I do this? No, it hurt when I do that. He goes, well.
Cough.
All right, that's it. Have a good night. Yeah, my butt was bleeding.
Yes, yeah, a little bit.
At the end. But
it's the taste.
He was an awesome doctor, and because I am like a lot of guys, and I think this is a male thing, not a female thing, and it doesn't matter if it's a doctor appointment or a dinner engagement or some sort of event that you have to be at, when it's a ways down the road, I always say yes. Like if my wife was to come to me and say, oh, listen, so-and-so invited us to a party during the holidays.
Yeah.
You know what I would say right now? Oh, baby, we'll be on vacation. No problem. I guarantee you the day before when she brings it up, she'll say, don't forget, tomorrow we got to go to. I go, oh, Christ.
That is a guy thing.
I don't want to do that. Yes. And she'd say, no, you told me that you would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes here because I'm the one that scheduled these appointments, okay? I scheduled the appointment for yesterday afternoon with the spinal doctor. Then I scheduled this morning, because I'm stupid, I scheduled my first hand therapy session for my Bob Dole hand, which is not so Bob Dole-y.
Right.
But I scheduled that mother for 8:30 this morning. So, you know, it's just me. It's just incredibly stupid me scheduling these appointments back to back. And it was the same deal this morning. I get there at 8:30. I got to fill out some paperwork. Then it's 45 minutes to wait. And then finally they bring you back to the little therapy area. And guess what? All I'm doing there is pretty much for 15 minutes watching people who are in much worse shape than me actually go through physical therapy.
Yeah.
Including one lady who had just the most ginormous old lady underpants ever, because they had her on the ground and she was doing something with a medicine ball, some sort of, you know, bending, stretching. I don't know what it was she was rehabbing, but she was pretty much in the same position that Leroy was in our studio when he was getting his anus waxed. She was lying on her side, and they were having her lift her leg up, her left leg up in the air. Apparently, she had a hip injury.
Nice.
And I noticed that her underpants, I'm not kidding, went halfway up her back.
Jeez.
Halfway up her back. But the good news is, as always, I am some sort of medical miracle that none of the doctors can figure out.
Yeah.
Really. When I went yesterday to the spine doctor, again, his whole thought was, I got to look at the x-rays. We got to look at the MRI. We got to look at the CAT scans. And every doctor just says, it's very amazing to us that you are doing as well as you were doing. Normally, with a fall like I took, they would estimate 6, maybe 9 months to get back.
Yeah.
And here I am. And this thing with the hand doctor today, the funniest question that the hand doctor asked me was if I had full motion. And I said the only problem that I have is a little bit of writing, and it's mainly gripping the pen or pencil with my thumb. And she said, do you have full range of motion in all ways? And I said, because I'm dumb, I said, like what? Like I can open a can of pop. I can open a peanut butter jar. I can open a Gatorade bottle that's very tightly sealed. And then she said, how do I put this? And again, I'm dense,
right.
An idiot. She said, have you tried to? And I said, I said, yes.
Many times.
You know, it's funny.
As a matter of fact, in the car right before I came in to see you. And she said that was a good sign.
Okay.
And she actually wrote that down on my chart. Okay?
Can
J-O.
It just amuses me that she would be that concerned. Because apparently that is a sign of good health, you know.
Well, it's a sign.
Can you actually do this?
As I know from talking to these doctors, what sets us apart from monkeys is the fact that we have opposable thumbs.
Right.
Our thumbs can move. And to do that particular act, it does require the thumb. Try it without a thumb.
No, you're right.
It's pretty much impossible.
Well,
depending on how you do it, Craig. No. Yes. And watching Craig, he looks like he's trying to light a big lighter.
All this thumb warmth.
I don't know if that's how you do it, but
no, you have to. You have to hold in place.
So it was a rather awesome appointment. She gave me putty. Two different types of putty that I'm supposed to use for rehab, like three times a day to squeeze it and make my thumb do stuff. And then this is the first time a doctor – now, the second doctor that I've had now tell me that Xbox is good for my hand.
I know.
And good for my eye-hand coordination.
Beautiful.
She also mentioned to me that it was a good way – how did she put it? She said, of course you should have normal relations with your wife.
Yeah.
She said – but if you feel the urge, anything that lets that muscle in your thumb, which incidentally goes into your forearm, she said, anything that works that out is acceptable. And
you lucky son of a bitch.
She really does care.
You get hurt and you get prescribed Xbox and J-Mo.
Xbox and masturbation.
How do I get that injury? Jeez.
Anyway, the good news is I'm past the doctors now.
Yeah.
I go back to the masturbation doctor next week. And I'm sure that's how she's going to love being referred to. I don't have to go back to the spinal guy for 3 more months,
okay.
So that's outstanding. So thank you, everybody, for putting up with Dave during the last 20 minutes of the show yesterday.
That was a blast.
With the doctor's appointments and everything else. And I just have to say again how incredible it is to be working at KHDK, physically to be in the building every day. I talked to a lot of people, and a lot of people have said to me, boy, your show is so much better since you fell off the stage. And I'm trying to say, listen, I wasn't like hit with something that suddenly made me better or made the show better. It is really, really flipping hard to do the show that we had done for 4 months with me being 3,000 miles away and not being able to see Dave, not being able to see Johnny, not being able to see Craig, and more importantly, not being able to really understand what the hell's going on here in my town, in Sacramento. It was impossible.
Right.
And it is so much easier now. It's like the weight of the world has been lifted off my shoulders. I had been... For the past 4 months, I would wake up in the morning, I'd stress out. First thing I would do is 6 o'clock in the morning when I'd wake up East Coast time, would go into the next room to make sure that all the links were still up.
Yes.
To make sure that all the equipment was still running, to make sure that the line between Ocean City and Sacramento was up. Yeah. Then I would start to prep the show, and then I would sit around on my ass for a couple of hours and wait, and then at 1 o'clock East Coast time, 10 o'clock in the morning, Dave would be in the studio here at KHTK, and we'd do the microphone check. And again, it would be hurry up to wait. And it was just so hard to do a show to try to – this is a compliment for Dave, as much as it pains me to give him a compliment.
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, you, Craig, but certainly and really with John. It was so hard to do the show that we did for 4 months with me being in one room and you guys being 3,000 miles away. And you don't know how many times – everything would crash on me. I would spend half my time when I was talking into the microphone looking at a computer screen trying to get a link back up, trying to get something to reset, because I would just be doing a show and all of a sudden all the screens would go blank. And I would just be sitting in a spare bedroom in my house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it boggles the mind to think we have the technology to make this happen, to broadcast from 3,000 miles away. And I think it's fantastic. I don't ever want to do it full time again. No. It sucks. I'm very pleased and humbled to be physically in KHTK every day. And it's a great feeling to get up and be able to actually come to work. I'm one of those guys that needs to get in the car and go somewhere to work. I've had that proven to me now that even if I had the ability now to have a studio in my house and not leave, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I wouldn't do it. I enjoy getting out. I enjoy being at a radio station.
You miss out on all the social interaction and fun characters here.
And hell, yeah. I mean, I had my daily meeting with Anne-Marie today, and I wouldn't have had that 3,000 miles away.
No, you would not have.
And again, I have no bigger fan than Jeff Petrie's wife, Anne-Marie. She, you know, president of the Kings, he is.
Mm-hmm.
And today I walked by her office, and she said, "Oh, hello, Don Geronimo." And I said, "Well, hello there, Anne-Marie." And she said, "I heard some ladies at the game talking about your show last night." And I said, "Oh, do tell." And she said, "Yes, they said that it has too much sex."
Yeah.
And Rod Stewart.
Anyway, I said, "Well, you know, it shows that they were listening." Yeah. Shows that they were listening.
That's a positive.
And I would like to get her on this show someday. I really would. I'm pretty sure management does not want... I'm pretty sure both King's management and KHTK management does not want her making an appearance on this show.
Maybe.
But I do. She's rather outspoken.
A little bit.
She ever had a forum? Has Anne-Marie ever had a forum?
Not to my knowledge.
To be on a radio show to just say what the hell's on her mind?
Don't believe she has, no.
And I'm not just talking about King's stuff.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about... she's got... an opinion on everything, Jack.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and it's those little things that I miss out on by being 3,000 miles away, and you know, and the people around the radio station that I've now come to know, and I look forward to seeing every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the old guy Walt. I like seeing the old guy Walt every day.
Absolutely.
I like seeing Dell, the sales guy that looks like Jeff Garcia.
Yeah.
Right. I like. Excuse me.
Truth. Big truth. Oh, huge truth.
Okay. Here's the hugest truth.
Oh wow.
There are two separate guys here who both like must apparently live in tanning booths and have like the worst Jersey Shore spray on tans ever. There's two separate sales guys, and to me, I cannot tell them apart because they both look like they want to be George Hamilton.
I'm trying to think of the second one. I know one of them is our friend Jeff, and that is always fun to have fun with him. Super tan, you know, black, kind of slick back
hair. He got the Pat Riley hair back in the day, and then he's got his twin brother who works here as well, who for whatever reason also is equally tanned, equally buff. Got like the Michael Douglas Wall Street hair going back.
Was he out? Did he step outside with us real quick this
morning?
Yes,
he did.
That would be Corey. I know who you're talking about now. Both look like they just walked out of a catalog.
Yes.
I'm not going to say which catalog.
I'm just going to say. Very nice. Don't do that. Let's see. These are the things that you miss out on when you're 3,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, from 3,000 miles away, I couldn't tell you how gay that haircut looks.
Seriously.
I'm sorry, I had to get rid of the mohawk. And that's why I'm always wearing a baseball cap. I just didn't today.
But boy, oh boy.
Yeah. It doesn't match my outfit.
You look like you should be hanging out with Denzel and Tom Hanks. Once
I got rid of the mohawk, I had to start
all
over
again.
You also
missed out on every time we go to break and you have a live spot to do and the music's playing. You'd been missing out on Craig's dancing. Have you noticed that? I've noticed.
Yes, he likes like the hot barbecue song and Sorry About That.
And he'll just dance in his seat. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I love music, man. It's just...
And plus, how would I have the intense relationship that I have with little Joe Pittman if I didn't see him every day?
You didn't have his car to set our coffee mugs on.
And today, you know, I did. I caught myself. Uh-huh. I had about 5 pieces of Juicy Fruit gum in my mouth. I had a big wad of gum going. And at one point I went, just as far as I could. And I swear to God, did you scan it?
I saw you. That's what you picked up.
Yeah, right. Because I realized, oh, it's Joe's car. And it was right on the windshield of his car. I mean, it was like, it was the spit shot of a lifetime. It's the equivalent of a half court shot.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
I was standing back by where the guys play wiffle ball. And I had this big thing of gum. I went, and the thing goes 30 feet and right in the middle of his car.
I didn't know what it was you picked up and threw. Jesus Christ, that thing was like a tennis ball.
See, I would miss all of that if I weren't here. Thank you, Sacramento. You continue to support my show with fantastic ratings, and I'm glad that you can get the vibe that the show, for whatever reason, appears to be better, and that's because it's so much easier to do the show from here and to be a part of the KHTK dysfunctional family. Today on the show, as a matter of fact, we're going to be doing a simulcast with my old radio station, mm-hmm. with WJFK in D.C., one of the guys that does the afternoon show there now, Chad Dukes, a guy who incidentally used to hate my guts, so we'll talk about that.
Okay.
He lost it a couple of days ago on the air. After the Redskins lost by 100 points, he went on the air and just spent like 2 hours really seriously cutting the team apart and cutting the ownership apart. Now, this is a proud tradition that I had held up for many years, and I think he took it to a new level. Anyway, he's getting all kinds of press on this. What is this, Dave? From Sports Illustrated, from ESPN, all this stuff. So we'll talk to Chad today.
Yeah.
And we'll do a little simulcast deal. So, you know,
cool.
My voice will be back on in Washington, D.C. for a couple of minutes, and you guys will be able to hear Chad. And I think it's interesting because it's one guy, it's a disc jockey, who just spent 2 hours screaming about how bad a team sucks, and all of a sudden people are paying attention.
Yeah.
See, it's the power of being a dick. That's what it is, total dick power.
Very true.
Also today we are going to discuss the Wayne Newton story, the one that I had mentioned months ago.
Yes.
About him wanting to start his own version of Twitty City in Las Vegas. Well, now it's a real news story because some people in Las Vegas are upset that Wayne Newton wants to turn his house into a museum and allow people to come by and watch him eat and read the newspaper.
Play guitar.
And, you know, he'll just have a bunch of velvet ropes around his house, so we're going to be calling Vegas today about this. I was contacted by Radio Now, which is a radio publication, and they wanted me to participate in a survey, my worst boss ever. Now, they're asking this, I think, of 25 DJs across America. And we'll have some discussions here because I want you guys to help me figure out who my worst boss ever was.
Sure.
And I'm not going with general managers. I'm going just with program directors.
Okay.
And I've got it down to 4. I got it down to 4.
Okay.
And really, one guy I got to take off the list because he really wasn't that bad. But back in the day, he just was a pisser. So all of that coming up on today's show, along with God will be on the show today, I think. I got a game that will involve the megaphone. Stand by for that action. Something about fake breasts. Something about the whole loco thing. The beverage. The thing that the
Poor drink. Loco.
Yeah, Poor Loco. The thing that's like 8 cans of beer and 2 cans of Red Bull in 1 can that they're taking off the shelves.
Nasty.
Well, now there is a how-to guide, much like with Purple Drank.
Yeah.
There's a how-to guide on how to make your own.
Okay.
Since they're taking it off the shelves. So we'll devote some time to that as well on the show today. And I see we have phone calls standing by, and it's busy. But the first thing that I want to do as we officially now start the show at 12:29, I want to call out to Pennsylvania to talk to my brother-in-law, Tom.
Okay.
And here's why. I want to know how his flight was yesterday.
If he's there yet.
Well, here's what I know.
He could be in Arizona.
I know he's there. Here's what I know. I know that Tom, because as you know from meeting him on the show, my brother-in-law, Tom, great guy, drove across the country with Jan, huge help, flew back yesterday, back to Pennsylvania. Had to switch planes in Phoenix. I don't think that was a problem. Tom is not totally embracing of all things that are new technology-wise. As you heard, he does not own CDs. He does not own DVDs or Blu-rays. He has cassette tapes and VHS tapes.
Right.
Shocker, he also does not own a cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Now, what I understand is that when he arrived at the Philadelphia airport yesterday, which is one of the biggest, most expansive airports in America, it's huge. His family, and incidentally, you know, if he doesn't travel, they've not been traveling either.
Right.
Apparently, there are many different concourses at the Philly airport, and his plane arrived, and he got off the plane and went to the area where people are, and he stood there for 35 minutes and realized his family wasn't there. And then he realized that, well, he didn't even have a way to text them or to call them.
White courtesy phone.
So I think what Janet told me was that he actually had to borrow someone's phone. To say, hi, I don't have a phone, but, you know, my wife and my kids are walking around the airport looking for me. And I'm very curious to see what a guy who's never flown for 30 years thinks about air travel now. Okay, because the last time that Tom flew, there was no such thing as TSA.
Yeah.
The last time that Tom flew, it was like watching an old movie where you could, as someone was getting on an airplane, well, like in a movie that both you and I love, Dave, The Family Man.
Yes.
That Nick Cage movie, the Christmas movie. Right in the very end of that movie, when Tia Leone's getting on the plane to go to France, and Nick Cage comes running through the airport, and he runs right up to the gate.
Yeah.
She's about to get on the plane, and he's like, stop, don't do that. I mean, you couldn't do that today.
He'd have gotten tackled.
Today, you can't make it past the area where people take the escalators to go to security.
Right, no chance.
So I'm just very curious because that's Tom's remembrance of what it was like to fly, that type of life. I'm curious to know if he got patted down yesterday. Anyway, let's give him a call. Now, Johnny, do me a favor and pod this down.
See if he now believes in flying.
Oh, hold on, I got to redial.
Like it doesn't exist.
Need one more chance here. And it's 9. Area code, right? 1? Area code. All right, turn it down, John.
I don't believe in
flying. You know what?
You think he believes in cell phones now?
I'm so stupid. I'm really so stupid.
Mr. Analog.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to call my wife. Hold on. Turn it down, please. I got the wrong phone number for my brother.
You had the cell number.
Oh, come on, honey bunny. I think I'm missing just one number. Story of my life. Hello. Come in, Janet. Oh, brother. What did you
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Okay, well.
Hi, it's Dr. Peter Finker.
You know, maybe you should call in here because I've got, well, you know what? Let me just try to make this happen. I'll just guess at what the last number is.
You got a 1 in 10 chance there.
Okay, let's see if this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be lucky if I got it?
First try.
Be funnier if you miss.
Don't think this is it.
Oh, Asian massage, how can I help you?
Tom? No, not Mm-mm. Tom.
No.
Oh, brother. Boy, did I screw this thing up.
Unless he's just, you know, letting his answering machine get it.
And also, I wish I knew what my phone number was at home.
Your
person? Yeah, I mean, at my house. Oh. At my house that I live in now. Oh, do you have my phone number at my house?
No, I have the one in Ocean City.
Oh, hold on. I've got it in my cell phone.
No, you know what, though? See, this sounds funny, but it's I don't know my home number either.
Let me try my... Okay, this is just on my phone, because I really don't know where the phone number is. Hello?
Yeah, you got it on speaker.
It's on speaker.
You're right.
Hey, baby?
Yes?
Hey, do me a favor. Would you text me Tom's number? I wrote it down wrong. Hello?
It'll be my pleasure.
What? Oh, it'll be your pleasure. Okay, thank you, lovey.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
Modern technology.
Ain't it great? Let me take a call while we wait for the number to come in, because I'm just so stupid. Hello, Mike. Hey, Mike, you're the first call of a brand new show on KHTK. Hello, my friend.
Hey, Don. I think your worst boss had to be Sabian. He put up the remember, no smoking signs, so you and Mike wouldn't smoke anymore.
No. I disagree. I disagree. Not my worst boss ever. Thank you, my friend.
No smoking sign.
Yeah. Which didn't really matter. Hello, George, you're on KHTK. Hello, George, buddy.
Donnie, number one fan.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm happy to hear your life getting back into order, but you were mentioning salad tossing. Did you watch Hell's Kitchen last night where they mentioned salad tossing?
No, you know what? And I'm the biggest dummy in the world that I was convinced since it wasn't on at 8 o'clock that it wasn't going to be on. So we watched the Kings game. Hey, that was super. And then Criminal Minds, which was about abducting kids. Super. You know,
well,
two great choices.
The guy with the glasses, what's his name? I forget that. You know, the doofy guy with the glasses and the dumb blonde. Anyway, she couldn't get her salad tossed.
Are you talking about the contestants on Hell's Kitchen?
Yes, yes.
And so part of the show last night was tossing salad?
She couldn't do it right, so he goes over there and helps her, and then the announcer guy or the narrator says, after successfully tossing her salad, it was hilarious. You got it on TV already.
Okay, yeah, I do, and I'll find out. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate that. Thank you, George. And now I do have the phone number.
Mm.
Incidentally, the missing digit was 5.
If you had 5, you win. Nothing.
Okay, here we go. Pot it down and...
I'd like it.
Here we go.
No smoking.
Call the brother-in-law, Tom. And another text from Janet. Is it possible that we can go to a Kings game someday?
Well,
I think I'm planning on maybe... I'm thinking about going tomorrow night.
Hello.
Hoping to be there for loss number 7. Hello, Tom.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hey, Tom, made it home. Congratulations. Yo, yo, yo. Tom, my brother-in-law, Tom, thank God you're there. Tom, how was the flight?
Oh, my God. Well, let's just start at the beginning. I had 2 hours to wait and been on a plane in 33 years. I was pretty nervous, and I'm walking back and forth, and I'm like, somebody's going to stop me and something, you know? So I find a bar and a restaurant. I figured, hey, I better get some beer and some pie, and that was good.
So is beer and pie your chosen meal of the morning then?
If that was going to be my last one, I wanted some lemon meringue pie and a great big glass of beer. Hey, it worked.
Awesome. Awesome.
First flight wasn't too bad. It was about an hour long.
Okay.
And I sat next to a guy that was... I don't know, it sounded like he had choking on popcorn or something the whole time. I wish I had my Walkman, but oh well. I figured it was only an hour, so we're going to be good.
And what did you think about TSA, about all of the security stuff? Because you've not been through that.
Nah, take my shoes off, take my belt off, Jesus. Whatever. Yeah. Hey, whatever it takes to be safe.
All right, so you're fine with that. I mentioned that when you arrived in Philly... that your family was not in the right concourse, correct?
Absolutely. They were told by the people in Philly, oh, everybody comes down this way, everybody. Well, we were won over. It worked out, though.
And you finally had to borrow somebody's phone, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
You're so funny. You're so out-of-date technology-wise. Would you ever consider carrying a cell phone?
Well, let me tell you right now, I'm talking to you on a rotary phone. I got it antiquing.
No shock there.
You know what? The only problem is I got to sit here. Now, if I go to my buddy, Leon, he has the antique, like, old appliance store. I'm going to look for one of them 20-foot coil cords, and then I'll be mobile.
You are awesome, Tom. How would you rate now? You've not been on an airplane in 30 years. Back then, I think people looked at flying as being a big deal. People would dress up to get on an airplane. Obviously, as you saw now, people wear their pajamas to get on airplanes. People don't care how they look. How did you rate the overall flight experience after 30 years of not flying?
You know, it was just like riding a bus. I think the most fun I had was on the second flight. I'm thinking 4 hours, okay, I'm almost going to miss the flight because they brought them so close together. And I'm walking back to my section, and they put me right next to the old lady, okay? And everything was fine. She's talking to me and all that. And I seen her turn green in the face. I think she was staring at my neck. I got vampire marks tattooed on my neck. I think she's seen them. After about an hour in a four-hour flight, I broke the ice, and I pulled out my bag, and I had dice and Yahtzee papers in it, and she said, that's my favorite game. We sat there at our trays playing Yahtzee the rest of the
night. Right on. Awesome. Well, listen, glad you arrived safe. Glad you made it back home. And listen, again, thanks for helping bring Janet out. You're awesome, Tom.
It was a lot of fun, man. Anytime.
All right, dude. All right, talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have fun.
Okay, bye. There he is on his rotary phone.
Here's my stupid question. Don't know, but he's got a twang, a very pronounced twang to his voice. Your wife does not. Is that just a thing where guys and girls maybe?
I have no idea. And Janet's whole family is from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And Tom is his own unique animal.
Gotcha.
I told you, he sounds to me like Boomhauer.
Yes,
like,
he does.
Well, Hank Hill, he's pointing, click, 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 point, click, 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 click.
I need to get some beer and some pie.
So does anybody else in Janet's family have any kind of accent? Like even like one of the Philadelphia accents or anything like that?
Gotcha. No, I mean, the closest that they have is a Pittsburgh accent. And for instance, a member of Janet's family, if you said you want to go downtown, here's what they say. You want to go downtown? Downtown?
Is that like a second cousin to the Baltimore accent?
Well, there, boy. No, the Baltimore accent's quite different. You see, the thing is, Dave, it's all about Cal. Cal Ripken. My wife was telling me last night one of the best stories, one of the best urban legend stories, which I had always thought was true, was that one night at an Orioles game at Camden Yards, they said that the power had gone off in the stadium. Oh, I know. We were discussing with her brother Tom the other night at dinner. We were discussing how the lights went off during the Giants game last week. And how could that possibly happen in a brand new, like, $3 billion stadium? How do the lights go off? And Janet said that she had been at an Orioles game long before I even knew that she existed, and that the game was delayed because they said there was a power outage at Camden Yards. And as it turns out, the game was delayed because Cal Ripken, he was still doing with the Iron Man streak.
Uh-huh.
And the story was that Cal Ripken had been arrested because he had found Kevin Costner in bed with his wife.
What?
You guys have never heard this story before.
No.
This is like from Baltimore and D.C. This is old school where people don't even mention it now because they're quite sure that it's BS.
Yeah.
But the rumor was that Kevin Costner was banging Cal Ripken's wife. Cal Ripken Jr. got home, found them, got into some sort of scuffle, either was arrested or the police had to be called out. He was late for the game. And he had his Iron Man streak on the line, and they said, what do we do to wait for Cal to get here? Well, they just turned off all the lights.
And said the power was
that missing. Makes sense.
I think that was the story.
Wow.
I think that
awesome.
Was it. And again, I should say all of that alleged.
Alleged.
Alleged, because that's the number one thing that we learn here at CBS.
Yes.
Anytime you say anything about anybody, it's alleged.
Much like Tony Parker was allegedly, turns out, banging Brent Berry's wife.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I saw the picture of her.
Yeah, listen, not necessarily a trade up.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
I mean, I don't care how many miles Eva has on her.
Yeah.
And yesterday, I believe that I started to get into it. No matter how beautiful the woman is, at some point in the relationship, the guy is tired of doing it with her.
Yes, same old
so
boobs.
So what you have to do is what real people do. You just move on to the next area of your relationship, and you make your relationship better.
It's called internet porn.
Opposable thumb, Dave. Opposable thumb. Remember, it's all part of my therapy.
It is.
All part of my therapy. And incidentally, I'll be practicing that therapy during the show today.
Well, very
many good. Times during commercial breaks.
Well, cover your eyes.
If only had an Xbox masturbation game, you'd be all set.
I have one. It's called Madden.
A wee wee.
Hello, Logan. You're on KHDK. Hello, Logan, buddy.
Hey, Don. I was just going back on that last caller, and the narrator that goes on during Hell's Kitchen, he says, and Trevor successfully tosses Sabrina's salad, and it made me laugh thinking about you, too. But it was hilarious, actually, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Sabrina's that crazy blonde chick.
Right,
too,
with the glasses, right. And one more, Brett. Hello, Mr. Favre. Hello, Brett.
What's up, GM?
Hey there.
You know, the best thing about that call is when he said he had his Walkman with him.
Yeah. Well, again, that's Tom.
See, that would be an interesting thing. Like, you know, they say turn off all cell phones and iPods and digital material, you know, for the takeoff.
He would be safe with that.
Yeah, Walkman wouldn't have to.
He'd be totally safe with that. And incidentally, I always leave my phone on airplanes.
Me too.
You're such
a
rebel. Well, listen.
No, I do too.
I've always thought it's a bunch of crap. I've always thought what could
this Sloop John be?
Yeah,
you got a problem with that, dude?
My mom used to sing me this song to go to sleep at night when I was growing up. Swear to God, she had a little ukulele, no joke, and she'd play it and sing this song.
Sheriff Johnstone. Hi, David.
Hi, Bob.
Leave me alone.
Apparently, you've been smoking, Mom.
Yeah. Well, I feel so broke up. I want to go home. Here, David, eat some more pea chips. Hoist up the sloop, John B. See how the main sails are. Look at my baby going to sleep. That's right. Nurse on mommy. I want to go home. Oh, David, want to go home. Yeah, I'm singing to David, and here comes your dad.
The Sloop John Binet.
Look at the Beach Boys run! This is Howard Cosell. Speaking of sex, I enjoy stagging Dave's mom while listening to the Beach Boys. Look at that little monkey go! Brian Wilson! Tara Wilson! Mike Love! And what the frig is John Stamos doing? This is Howard Cosell, speaking of spazzes.
Your fault, Danny, for mentioning your mom sang you
my
this song.
My favorite part of the whole thing, though, is I'm like, is this Sloop John B? Yeah, you got a problem with it. He turned into Joe Pesci. Got a problem with that?
Let me go home. I want to go home. Oh, the John B sale. Oh, David, you're such a disappointment. I feel so broke up. I want to go home. Did I ever tell you about the time that I was with the monkeys?
No, wait, well, hold on. That could mean...
No, not real monkeys. Oh. Davy Jones.
Oh, gotcha.
Mickey Dolenz.
Gotcha.
I was with the Beatles, the Beach Boys, the monkeys.
Rolling Stones?
Yes, the Stones.
Turtles?
The Turtles. I had sex with Flo and Eddie.
Hermits?
He's Henry VIII, I am. I'll tell you that right now, David.
Paul Revere and the Raiders?
All at the same time. Let me sing my baby to sleep.
Yes.
See how the mainsail sets.
I do.
Oh, the captain and show. Let me go home. Let me go home. I want to go home. Let me go home. Is he sleeping? Oh, he's sleeping. Beautiful. Give me a pillow.
He's sleeping.
I'm going to put him to the eternal sleep of the damned. Oh, David, you wet yourself again. Wake up, David!
Well, you might as well roll it again, John. We still got to go to break.
Since we're having so much fun, can I show you the greatest text I've ever received in my life?
12:48. Your wife just sent you this. This is a text from Dave's wife. What the F? You used my gym towel for your bodily function towel?
Is this right?
I wipe my face with that. Ugh.
How great is that?
This is a sperm facial.
Sorry.
Well, listen.
That's foliate.
Listen, Melissa, stay tuned.
Oh.
You'll get a segment on today's show.
I thought that was bad.
Oh, my God. This has been our longest set of commercial-free rock. It's 1249, and we'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don Geronimo Show.